Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive. That was Dusty Springfield. Believe it or not, the song is Occupy Your Mind. I say believe it or not for people who are too young. She was like a blue-eyed soul singer in the 60s and into the 70s. Son of a preacher man, you know.
Right.
She sang The Look of Love. But she definitely shifted her career in later years. She wound up, you know, on a Pet Shop Boys song and then had a resurgence because of them, and then went into this more electronic sound, but it wasn't really well known at all.
No, I'd never heard of it, and I would not have guessed this song was Dusty Springfield singing.
Yeah, it's so weird hearing this style with her, like housey music with her on it. Don't want to forget to mention Box of Beats was before that moment. That was the pick you had, and I loved it. I really liked his voice, and I liked the production. I do like that style of like kind of like this chugging house sound, like that guy Amtrak, as I mentioned.
Right.
The oscillator sound, you know, dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I just want to, because I didn't say much about it leading in because I forgot that how much I liked it. And I wasn't sure if I remembered what it sounded like in my head. And then when I listened to it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Because actually hearing that made me think of this Dusty Springfield song, which I had just listened to on the plane.
That was on your plane playlist.
My plane playlist.
So I triggered a good connection for you. And
yes,
a pairing.
Totally.
I like that. And this guy is, I just forgot to mention, you know, if you look at him on Instagram, he looks like Wolfman Jack's son. He's got like a goatee and just kind of like very sincere eyes looking at you. But he sings. He's got a pretty good voice, I would have to say. And this style is minimalist, I would say. Very minimalist, electronic, but effective.
Yeah, really good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that Dusty song, wanted to mention, that was produced and written by the Pet Shop Boys. So when Dusty Springfield was, like I mentioned to you, was like a national treasure in the UK throughout the 60s and 70s. And then when it came out that she was in a relationship with a woman, I believe it was late 70s, and she had kept it a secret for years, knowing that how conservative the BBC and all that was in the UK,
yeah,
that it might have ruined her career. So she hid her personal life. When it came out, she basically went off the radar. She didn't have a single hit for like maybe 15, 20 years until
the public didn't accept her after that.
Yeah, or at least the people making decisions to play music have decided
they canceled her.
Lesbian, God forbid, you know, they stopped playing her. So Pet Shop Boys brought her back, and the Pet Shop Boys, very famously, one of the most outspoken gay artists of all time. They really broke barriers at a time in the 80s when it wasn't popular to come out.
That's true.
And they brought her on to do the song, What Have I Done to Deserve This, which was number one in like 20 countries. Then they wrote a bunch of songs for her, and in 1990, she put out an album. What did you call it? What was it called? It was like Presence or... I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And this song
Reputation. Rarities.
So the remix album is where I heard it. And then all the songs were credited to the Pet Shop Boys, and it does sound kind of PSB-ish. I felt like they were trying to like give her dignity back. Like they had fame. They were at their peak in the early 90s. They blew up internationally. They were so popular. So I feel like they were doing their part.
That's
trying
really good
to lift
of them.
Her back up. It really was.
That shows class.
And in the documentary about her life, she really was like devastated that like everybody just don't cared anymore.
Right.
And she was so,
it's no longer about the music. That's
she turned to an alcoholic and a drug addict because of all these tumultuous things. Yeah. And then the Pet Shop Boys kind of were like, no, this isn't going to be how it ends. She died of cancer shortly after. I think it was 99. But a legend, a treasure, the most top five or six female voices in history, in my opinion.
Very distinctive voice.
So glad to be able to play her music to this audience, because I know it's a little bit outside of the scope of what we do. So we're going to move along to the next track, which is a band that's name might be familiar to people.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaker Pimps. Weird name at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a huge song called Six Underground, which was in the movie The Saint. And it was a hit on the radio, crossover trip hop song. And then they had another song called Spin, Spin, Sugar, which was a club anthem. And I remember there was like a remix of it that we used to always hear in the clubs when I was a kid. It was like 11 minutes, this anthemic sounding song. Mm-hmm. But it was almost drum and bass-ish.
Yeah.
Spin, Spin, Sugar. And a great album. I think it was called Postmodern Sleaze.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. They didn't get right. any more radio play. I kind of lost track. And then this album came out, set it up. Bloodsport by Sneaker Pimps.
So from 2002... You know, we've talked about Sneaker Pimps a couple times and talking about styles of post-punk bands at the time. And Garbage, as we played actually with Jeff a couple shows ago. And I really think that these guys sound a lot like Garbage as far as the way they're organized.
Like rock, electronic.
Yeah. But these guys, this song and this album, I think, is a little bit more, a little bit more electronic. So that's why I wanted to explore it a little bit. I was never a really big Sneaker Pimps fan because I think the Six Underground was too mainstream hit to me, even though in the alternative realm. But listening to it now under a different context of Hi-Fi Dream and the deep dive, I feel like this song fits really well. And it's a little bit edgier, but it's and it fills a corner, I think, of the vibe that we're trying to go for.
This song has a sick groove.
Yeah.
It's like kind of a galloping groove, but it's not fast. It's rocky. It's electronic. I like them from the get-go, but after that album, they had one other album, I think, that was sort of like that Postmodern Sleaze. And then I lost track.
Mm-hmm.
My band was playing a show in 2005, maybe. And, the sound guy came up to me afterwards and he's like, "Do you listen to Sneaker Pimps?" And I'm like, "I like them." And I thought he was talking about the one, you know, Six Underground and stuff. He's like, "You guys sound a lot like them." And then he's like, "And you sound like the singer." And I'm like, "The girl? Like, I sound like her?" And he's like, No. And then he told me about this song and this album and I bought it. And I could hear where he was coming from, even though I don't think my voice. I could see maybe from a live perspective, maybe he thought there was similar. He said, I was on tour with them for 2 years doing their sound, and trust me, you guys sound like this, and I think you sound like that guy. So that was when I came back to the Sneaker Pimps, and it was only this album that I bought, and yeah. I liked it. I mean, this was the song. I think this is the only one that stuck to, like, 20-some-odd years later that I still listen to, maybe one other song on that album.
Yeah.
But when I saw it on your list, I was kind of surprised because it wasn't, like, really in any way popular.
Right.
And not many people know Sneaker Pimps post Six Underground, Spin, Spin, Sugar.
Right.
So I was surprised, but also you do kind of sort of find these nuggets.
That's my job, man. I'm digging. Yeah. I'm digging on purpose. So
I love the track. So this is definitely, I have playlists that are sort of built around the sound.
Yeah.
And I like a groove, like a sort of like a sexy kind of dark groove. And this has it.
Exactly. Good. I'm glad you picked up on it.
Garbage, I feel like they're probably the easiest relation to this, exactly. Like sound-wise. Yeah.
Right. And most people aren't going to make music like this anymore. I think it's an era gone, right?
Yeah, maybe so. That'll, you know, most trends cycle back.
Right.
I could see the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s coming back around in the next few years. You know how that happens. Like, you don't think it will. When you think it's completely out of favor and tasteless, it finds its way back. And I think we're just kind of in that period where it's going to kind of go away enough where people forget that it was good and then come back and like, wait a minute, you know, this is cool.
Maybe.
We need a resurgence in music, folks. I've been saying this for about 5-10 years. They need to fix pop music. And it's not just, I want pop music back where the songs are great and they belong and where all of us can listen.
Right.
But we need a resurgence. They need to get back to songwriting from pre-2010. And it's too easy to write on your home computer without a band, without being in a studio. And I think it's hurting the songwriting because you're not developing sounds. Labels used to sign an artist.
Yeah.
And their first couple albums would not do well. And the third and fourth album, they'd get a little more traction. And eventually they just kind of, over years of developing and honing their sound, they would turn into this amazing band.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if the first album doesn't have a hit with the first single, you don't make it to the second record. And these groups break up because they don't have, they sort of like have one shot.
Yeah, right.
If you think about that model, bands like Radiohead would have never made, Beastie Boys, these, like, they would have never made it to the second, third album,
right,
where they really became a better group.
I see.
Especially back in the 80s and 90s. Those bands were developed by labels. They kind of said, like, you know, let's get you on the road.
Invested.
Yeah, put you on opening slot for this band or that band, get you in front of fans. They weren't expecting immediate results.
Right.
Whereas now it's like, you got to hit quick or there's the next artist to go to.
You need a million listens or else forget it.
And we need a resurgence.
It's a short attention span problem, I think.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. You need instant hooks, yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry to go off on that little thing. But so it's going to be the Sneaker Pimps and then Peter Gabriel. A lot of people know Peter Gabriel. Sledgehammer, In Your Eyes.
Genesis,
yeah. I mean, this guy's a legend. He's truly one of the weirdest artists in history, especially when he was with Genesis. He's a, like, adult alternative, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He had the most famous video of the 80s, Sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah.
Broke everything apart.
Amazing.
But he has a quirky side, and he has a dark side, and he has a mysterious thing. But his albums are, like, usually, like, 5 years apart. And he, like, really, really kind of commits himself like a character in a movie, like what they call that, method acting.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the mode, right?
Okay.
Like, you can't talk to him for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
He sits in a studio all day and night. This song, I remember the video on MTV in the 90s. I'm not sure if you do. Beavis and Butthead even did a funny thing about it. But it's a great video. It's, like, animated because he was known for that at that time. So I didn't take it seriously. I liked a lot of his songs, but didn't think this was, like, a serious
song. That's how I felt about this song as well. Didn't really take it seriously.
There was another one called Kiss That Frog, Kiss the Frog, which is also, I didn't take it seriously. And then a song called Steam. They were all good music videos, but they seemed quirky.
Mm-hmm.
It was way later for me that I realized how great Digging in the Dirt is, and it's the chorus. And it, specifically the line, "Digging in the dirt, stay with me, I need support." And, like, you could hear the quirkiness in the core in the verse, and then this sort of serious tone that drops into the chorus.
Yeah.
And it's just, it really opens up from there. But it's really got a trip hop beat too, which you called here.
Right. I think hit it on the head is, you have to take the song and put it in the context of Hi-Fi Dream and the deep dive.
Yeah.
Like, why would Greg pick this song? Because that's the first thing I ask myself. But listen to it. Let's listen to it.
I like frustrating argument in the car, which I'm curious. We'll go back and
visit that. Let's listen.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Something kind of fun. just a blood sport. Love is just a blood sport. Cause love is just a blood sport. Love is just a blood sport.
You're listening to The Deep Dive on Hi-Fi Dream.
I told you.
Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive, Greg and Willis. That was Peter Gabriel from 1992. The song is called Digging in the Dirt. And before that was Sneaker Pimps. That was Willis's choice, Bloodsport from 2002. So it was like 10 years out, started 10 years later and then went back. You remember this. In the 80s, when Sledgehammer came out, it was 86.
Mm-hmm.
That video was all over MTV.
It was a trip.
That was, yeah. I mean, I knew of Salisbury Hill and I knew of Shock the Monkey.
Okay.
And that's what I knew of Peter Gabriel when right. Sledgehammer came out big time. And then In Your Eyes, which was in a movie
huge
called
hit.
Say Anything,
yep.
which was a famous scene where he's holding the boombox in the
right.
driveway. People know that scene. It's
love
like,
that.
Nowadays, it's like sort of the 80s, one of those 80s moments that's iconic.
Right.
What I never knew was that when time went on, I didn't really care too much about Peter Gabriel in the 90s. And then those videos for this song and Steam and Kissing That Frog and these songs came out. I wasn't really enthralled with it. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I didn't get it. And then years later, at some point, I was like, I need to listen more to this guy. Maybe somebody, like maybe my old friend Bill is a little older than me. Maybe it was him because he was a Genesis fan from the early days and he used to praise Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
But it was some point I decided to, this is something I think I would like as I get older. And where I went back and found this particular song, Digging in the Dirt, was like, you know, sometimes you're a little more vulnerable and like you're maybe like sad or something, going through something, and then you hear a song that you now hear it differently because you understand it and feel it.
Yeah.
That chorus, and I'm not talking about this time I've gone too far part, which is kind of like angry.
Right.
The part that he says, digging in the dirt, stay with me, I need support, digging in the dirt and to find the places I got hurt.
Right.
There's like sort of this vulnerability that he lets. And I feel like in a lot of his music, it sounds quirky. And then all of a sudden the moment hits
yeah.
where you know he wants you. This is the part to lock in on.
That's interesting.
And I noticed it with Steam, which is a great song. I noticed it with Love to Be Loved, Washing the Water. Like he had all these songs that were good and little trip hoppy
mm-hmm.
with the beats and these very detailed instrumentations and layers to the music and his voice, like
yes.
layers of his voice.
So many versions of him singing at once.
He is definitely not easy listening, meaning like it's not easy to sit and listen. It's not background music, even though it could be, you know, sound wise, not loud or annoying, but it's you really got to sit with it.
It's somewhat discordant, actually, the way he kind
it's
of shouts.
Word.
And even Sledgehammer, if you take that at face value, I don't know what it's really about, but it's harsh. And it's and then the video was cool and trippy, but I think that's what made it so, I don't know, interesting.
That was
right?
why it was the most popular video in
yeah.
the 80s, because of the video.
Right.
Not the song.
Animation.
Even though the song was catchy, sure. Like, because you hear it so much, it becomes, like,
right.
catchy.
Right.
In Your Eyes was really a beautiful song.
That was beautiful.
No doubt.
Genuinely beautiful. And this song, again, you mentioned that digging into the main chorus, it's harsh, but that's all I remember about this song. When I saw you put this here, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that song. And I just thought nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I have to understand why. And like you say, it is more about what's afterwards. And so he's just trying to get your attention. Like, hey, look here, I have a song.
Mm-hmm.
And
like
then
abrasive.
Yeah, and then you have to listen to it. And there's so much more to it. There's so many layers and so much meaning. I was telling you that I thought for sure the song was about an argument between two people driving in a car.
Like, yeah, and probably
driving.
Over a bridge.
Yeah, at night with the lights. Nice. And so they're like, you know, keep your hands on the wheel. But then you explain to me, and it makes perfect sense now, that he could be talking to himself, like saying, you know, let's not dig in, you're digging too far. Like, we need to keep moving here. You need to keep moving forward. You need to, he's trying to inspire himself.
Yeah.
And I did
that's
never,
a good call. I mean, I like that perspective because it changes how maybe I think of it.
I never saw it that way. And I was reading the lyrics as I'm listening to it with the headphones. And by the way, it's an excellent headphone song.
It is.
Song.
Better in the headphones.
Yeah. So it's an amazing pick. And I feel like my relationship with Peter Gabriel is different now.
It changes that. I'm telling you, it's so cool when you can sort of validate something. This was on my flight playlist too.
Oh, wow.
And in that moment, I knew it's been like this for a couple of years now with this song, maybe 2 or 3 years. But it was like, again, I reaffirmed that I was going to put this on a show because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is definitely hi-fi-ish.
Yeah.
And but I also remember how I felt about Peter Gabriel in this way of like, I don't get it,
yeah,
but I exactly. know he's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's same. Just maybe it's not for me or whatever. But once I got it, I unlocked something. And then it was like, I need to find out more here.
Well, I have to give you props in your story for saying, telling yourself, your past self, that maybe my future self would like it. That's basically
absolutely.
What you said.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody who thinks like that.
And it's weird because because I did like those. Like Salisbury Hill was kind of like, not like folky. It was like a epic song, but it was like, I loved it. And I really liked Shock the Monkey too. But that was another one that was kind of like abrasive.
Exactly.
And then there was the part, if you remember, it was like, hey, monkey,
uh-huh.
monkey. Yeah, right. But it was kind of like a breakdown in the song where it's cool.
Right.
And then the other part's like, don't you know you're gonna shock the monkey? That part's not pretty or cool to me. So there was nuggets I liked in the music. So, and then In Your Eyes I always liked. And so, yeah, I think that was sort of my logic with kind of going into this new place in my life where it's like, I like adult kind of an alternative that's like not necessarily edgy to be edgy.
Right.
But also there's a lot of layers. There's a lot of things going on in there. It's well worth diving into his catalog because you will see, as an adult, the lyrical themes are relative to us. And like, he sings a lot about death and like losing people and like getting older, but also sings about things that are relatable universally, but he's not for everybody. You know, I don't think people who like straight up easy to listen to pop music were going to be okay with Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, he's not giving you the melodic pop hooks. He's giving you some crazy ideas to latch onto and pull you in. So it's going to only grab a couple different people.
Sure.
But not everybody. And I always thought of him as, you know, he was with Genesis, but then he split off to do more weird stuff. That was my thought.
And he was weird in Genesis in the beginning. Before Phil Collins became the singer of Genesis, they were not mainstream.
Right.
Never had a hit.
Right.
But they were huge, and they're like, they would kind of been like what we consider alternative now, like non-mainstream but popular.
Uh-huh.
Like Arcade Fire or like whatever groups that came out in like 10 years ago that were like popular, sold shows. Like they had a huge following even before Phil Collins became the singer. But then when Phil Collins took lead, they had accessibility.
Right.
Peter Gabriel wound up being more successful as a solo artist than he was with Genesis.
More.
So and he became more accessible, but took the weird elements and combined it with a more presentable style. Anyway, that's one that if there's one of those tracks sometimes where I almost want people to spend the time a little closer listening to it to understand that is a beautiful song.
Oh, yeah.
And much better than the surface would suggest.
Great. Yeah. And the chorused vocals and the little slight trip hop beat was pretty cool.
Yeah. So one more set, bro. You shocked me with this one because this was in the 90s when I was like coming of age and, you know, like just hitting my 20s, if you will. This was a song I discovered, and it was like the Pet Shop Boys and trip hop and like all these things in one. Alternative pop, it was a lot, and it was a one-hit wonder sort of.
Yes,
but wasn't a real hit here in the UK. It was here. It was like it got there. Some radio stations played it, I guess. But where did you find Dubstar? Did you remember it?
No, I'd never heard of it before. Like so many other songs in my musical discovery of the last 12 months, I guess since I started working with you, is this one is new to me, and I love finding these things that existed back then that I probably would have loved if I had heard them, but now I heard this song called Stars, and it struck me as that's a hi-fi dream song, and it's dreamy, it's atmospheric.
The lyric too, I watched the stars go by.
Yeah, it's
very
so,
very hi-fi
it's
dream.
It's so fitting, and I really want to love the rest of their album or the rest of their music. And it's not the same at all.
Nope.
It's more like trying different pop styles and some kind of house and more just not the same. So I don't get it.
Like erasure. Remember, and we always talked about the experience of listening to music at the listening station back as kids.
Yes, the CD.
Because you get to sample. But there were a lot of cases, I'm sure you'll relate to this, where you liked a song you heard on the radio or heard somewhere. And you went to buy the CD based on that one song.
Yeah.
And when you got it back home, you realized that's the only song you liked.
Everything else,
and
was
which is
not,
why most stores had used CDs, because people would do that and they'd be like, "Wait,
record
a minute.
The one song and return it."
Yeah, and it was also, you know, because you didn't know, you couldn't go online and list. There was no online.
That's right.
So you had to really kind of like, and then that maybe that's why a lot of people waited to see if they liked the second or third song.
Yeah.
But in some cases, one hit wonders didn't have a second or third single.
That's right.
So you buy an album. This was one of those albums where I remember taking it home and being like, nope, not this one.
Disappointed,
right. Not this one. But this song was so good, I wasn't getting rid of the CD.
Exactly.
You know?
If the song is good enough, you're still going to keep it. And it's in your library. If you're looking through the CDs and you say, oh, yeah, that's that album that has that song. And you have no idea what else is on it. You don't care because you've already kind of discounted. And so much of my personal collection has that, unfortunately.
So funny, yeah.
Or I really like the cover art, right? Like the one song plus the cover art, that's enough.
I can't think of how many CDs I bought based on the cover.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I never heard of this, but it looks cool. Band sounds neat, you know? That was what, and then I get home and I'm like either pleasantly surprised and now it's a new band I love, or it's absolutely nothing like I imagined. Mm-hmm. You know what was like that for me? Asian Dub Foundation, which you had on an early show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be dub. Like, and I like dub. You know, so I was expecting that, but it was like kind of aggressive.
It's a mix.
And it was just as a sound, it was not what I thought it was going to be, more like reggae dub.
You know, that was
more like kind of electronica and like,
yeah,
you know, that British snobby kind of rapping.
Right.
A little loud. And so that was one, but I still liked the group.
Uh-huh.
But there's so many where I was like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
Not going to do much with this record.
And, you know, I'm always torn. Like, I got to get rid of this stuff. I'm not listening. I don't ever listen to it. But I can't. I can't bring myself.
I'm the same way.
It's too sentimental.
Maybe one day. Look, Peter Gabriel, if I did that, I wouldn't have been able to go back and listen to the albums.
Good point.
Because
you got to have, you got to talk to your future self and convince yourself that
once in a while, that happens for me.
Yeah.
Where I've said, I need to come back to this at another time when I might want it. Cause I go through phases musically that, like, I went to the record store a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to keep this short, before we play the last set, but I went to the record store and I had like a bunch of really eclectic choices on my, like, wide range of genres. And the guy up front was making, they usually make comments about it.
They always assess
you. He's like, this is some
combination.
I've never seen anybody have these two in the same pot or whatever. Right. And I, like, he said something to me and I was like, it depends on the day. Because if the day I go record shopping, I'm listening to like electronic music, then I'm probably going to be thinking like looking for those kind
of
records.
Mood, yeah.
If I'm listening to like grunge or like 90s alternative, then I might go that way when I'm looking for records.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'm not really locked into any sound and I'm just sort of like, oh, I'll take some of these different things from all over the place. But it really, I go through phases where I'm like lately for me, I've been kind of in a phase of like dubby, oddly, like soul and like a lot of African psychedelic music, which is really strange, like classic rock, but African style or Ethiopian or whatever. So like, that's a weird journey I'm on right now in that world, but like, that'll go away eventually, and then it'll be another thing. I'm into lo-fi or like, you know,
or doo-wop
or whatever. Yeah, it could be anything. So that's another part of it, I think, and that's why I like this show, because it's really a broad spectrum. So maybe your flavor might not be the song you're hearing, but you might be the next one.
There you
or
go.
Maybe you'll find a new flavor. And these last two songs are very different, they go well together.
Yeah, and we're kind of snapping it a little bit back into the hi-fi dream.
Sure,
realm.
We usually do that.
From the folk pop or the soul, right, retro, and even Peter Gabriel's. I think pushing the hi-fi dream limit a little bit, wouldn't you say?
Tonight we did.
Yeah.
There are the ones that are certainly like right on par, and then there's those that are like the XTC, Peter Gabriel stuff, Dusty Springfield. But this Dubstar song, one of my favorites from the 90s, one of my favorite one-hit wonders of the 90s, still a fan of this track, and I always will love it. And then the last song is a new song by a group called Trust, TR/ST. Kind of gothy they are, a little electronic. You could tell they were influenced by that like new wave sort of industrial sound.
Oh, okay.
Like Clan of Xymox and all those, maybe like Tones on Tail. Yeah, so I feel like that's where they come from, Nine Inch Nails earlier stuff. But this song just came out, and this is one where I was listening to it when I was trying to find my new music to put in Hi-Fi Dream.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it, and I wasn't sure if I was going to put it in. I did, by the way. I just put it in. But I second, third, fourth listen, I was like, it's one of my favorite songs that's come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there haven't been that many that I love, like, personally.
Yeah.
So when I get one, then I'm like, this is cool. So I've been going back to this abnormal amounts, which is, I don't do that as much. Because I listen to so much music, I can't really just listen to the song on repeat. But this one's had me on repeat a few times. Did you like it?
It's very interesting vocal style, or which I would describe as purposefully minimalist vocals, meaning like you're staying, he's singing below the melody, like under the melody, and so very subtle. But then also the way he sings is kind of like stressing weird intonations versus, like, in the word scared, he says scared.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Kind of like,
I saw your thing here and I was laughing at that.
Scared, stiff to stone. And I think he's basically, it's an interesting, unique style that is a stylized form of singing. That's what I would call it.
What, last year, three years ago, mm-hmm. I saw Drab Majesty.
Yeah.
And the band that opened for them was Body of Evidence, which is very, very overtly 80s new wave.
Hmm.
And this guy, TRST Trust, I guess, was mm-hmm. on the lineup, but it ended up he was DJing. Oh. So he's like opening the show DJing.
Got it.
And he was playing music. And I remember that night I was like, I think he played one of his own songs or one of their own songs. And I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, so I had found their music and I had been listening,
okay.
You know, nothing like intensely, but I hadn't bought any records, but I liked some of their songs. This one though, is
nice
good.
Surprise.
I said that to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago who I thought would like this, and he was like, who is this band?
Mm-hmm.
I think Nate's even into them. But anyway, I hope you like the last two songs. Dubstar, Stars, 1995, and then a new song from Trust, TR/ST, if you're looking for it. And the song is called Soon. Thank you.
Great show today.
Great show. And we'll see everybody back here next week for a special show. We're going to do a special one next week, a best of kind of thing.
That's right. Isn't best that? Of the deep dive.
I think, or maybe that'll be 2 weeks. I'm sorry. That is 2 weeks.
Oh, sorry.
But we'll be here next week. Doesn't matter. Thanks for listening.
All right. My partner.